From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch and author of more than 20 books, including The History of Jihad from Muhammad to ISIS, and the New York Times bestseller, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. Let's now join Hank Hanegraaff and Robert Spencer in their conversation.
Why do you think Westerners find Islam so attractive?
Well, the Westerners we're talking about, they're not Christians. They don't understand Christianity. They are living in a decidedly post-Christian environment. I can tell you anecdotally, way back in the 80s, I had a friend who brought his girlfriend to church, to a Catholic church, and she had never been to a church. She was an American girl, but she had just been raised in a completely irreligious environment. And she saw the crucifix on the back wall, and she said, "What is that?" And he said, "Well, that's Jesus on the cross." And she said, "I would never let anybody do that to me." And she just had no idea of who he was or what the significance of the cross and the crucifixion was. And I think that, unfortunately, there are many, many people like that now, and probably many more than at the time that happened. And so they have a spiritual hunger, a gap, a lack within their souls that they try to fulfill, of course, the way people do with material possessions and various other things, and they find those empty. And then here comes this theology that is very definite and very sure, and it sets everything out. And I think that we should not underestimate the attractiveness of the idea that Islam does set everything out, explains everything, and has an answer for everything, and gives you instructions on how to behave in every circumstance, and hundreds of laws that you have to follow, and so on. This is appealing to people nowadays who grew up in these rootless, anything-goes kinds of environments. You know, human nature being what it is and us being created by the one God, we find fulfillment in the service of God. But when that is ignorant and the people are blind, then you can think that this kind of all-encompassing slavery is that service and find it appealing as a result.
How hard has it been for you to stand against the tide?
Well, you know, Hank, that's a big question, because this work regarding Islam and trying to raise awareness about jihad, that's been all I've been doing for the last 20 years, essentially, or more, and it's been very difficult. I don't want to complain, but I can tell you that, you know, if you, for example, if you Google search me, you will find the very first thing, the top thing that comes up is the Southern Poverty Law Center's extremist file that calls me an extremist and a racist and a bigot and a white supremacist and Islamophobic and all these things, solely for the crime of standing up and speaking out against jihad violence and Sharia oppression of women and others. And I find that difficult. You know, I'm kind of stigmatized in a lot of ways, and there are a lot of things that people don't realize what kind of restrictions that puts on one's life, because, you know, you can't even get involved with local activities around here and that kind of thing, because people would say, "Well, what do you do for a living?" And then they go look you up, and then it becomes a very dicey thing politically. And so it's very restricting, but we all have troubles and we all have difficulties. I try to meet all this in a Christian manner in a rather failing and halting way, but nonetheless, that is the goal.
There's so much that has changed. I mean, I was going over at the beginning of this podcast some of the things that you have done, and it is amazing. When I just look at the list of organizations that you have impacted and given good information to, you've led seminars on Islam and jihad for the FBI. Are you still welcome in those venues?
Oh, no. Actually, all that changed 10 years ago. I did that from 2005 to 10. And then in 2010, they stopped inviting me And in 2011, it became clear why. Actually, a group called Muslim Advocates, which is a Muslim Brotherhood-linked organization, they wrote a letter to John Brennan, who was then in the Department of Homeland Security and, of course, later became the head of the CIA. And they named me specifically. I was kind of honored by that in a backhanded manner, pleased that they noticed. But in any case, they said that I had to be fired as a trainer and that my materials be removed from counterterror training, along with those of some other people, and that this was because, of course, we were Islamophobic and so on. And Brennan immediately complied and wrote back actually on White House stationery as if to signal that this was the highest priority and assured them that all mention of Islam and jihad would be removed from counterterror training. And it was, and it's still out of it. If you go to the government's terrorism program, its counterterror program, it's called Countering Violent Extremism, and it very carefully never mentions Islam, and you would never get any idea that there's any jihad terror threat from it.
Do you think that the tide will turn at some point, that we'll finally come to a true valuation of things, or has this gone on too far?
I think that it's gone too far and that the tide will turn. It's gone so far that there's going to be a whole lot of trouble before it gets better, but that at the same time, the force of events will make the truth clear. And it will be increasingly difficult in the United States, unfortunately, to maintain that Islam is a religion of peace that has nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism, as Hillary Clinton said a few years back. It will be harder and harder to sustain that perspective.
I want to go back to one other thing quickly with respect to what we're talking about in distinguishing between the Eastern Church and the Western Church, and that is the distinction between essence and energies. That distinction is embraced in the East, but oftentimes is not as much as countenanced in the West.
Yeah, that's a big difference with St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Gregory Palamas. A huge difference in the understanding of the nature of salvation and the experience of God by the redeemed person. And I think that it's inextricably bound up with the concept of divinization, that if you are truly going to be a partaker in the divine nature, then you have to be able to experience it, whereas this is cut off from the believer in the West.
And what is so incredible about this is that this has to do with Orthodox anthropology. In Orthodox anthropology, the goal is not to be saved singularly. The goal is to be deified. And so we look at Adam and Eve in the garden. They were to ascend the paradisical mountain and forever eat from the tree of life and thereby be changed from one glory to another, to become not only icons of God, but to become more and more godlike. So this is a transcendently important distinction because it is the energies of God that change us from one glory to another.
And this is very important, Hank, also in regard to the Blessed Mother. And of course, the Catholic Church has a great veneration for her, but this was something that I think was perhaps improperly understood even within the Catholic Church to the degree that the Protestant reformers considered that it had to be something to be rejected. Whereas in the Orthodox understanding, she is the redeemed person. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is the one who most fully embodies the idea of deification, of transformation in Christ, and of God being in Christ, reconciling the world to himself and entrusting to us the ministry of reconciliation, that she most fully is the minister of this reconciliation. And so she is what we are able to become and called to become. And that's the reason why it is not idolatry, as some Protestants charge, to ask her for prayers, like the is it the Akathist hymn, Almost Holy Theotokos, Save Us, and so on. These things are incomprehensible without the idea of deification.
Yeah, she is the quintessential example for us of what deification is.
Yes.
And I think that the perpetual virginity of Mary is something that perhaps would be worth commenting on as well. How important is that from your perspective?
Well, that's the same thing. You know, if you're going to be filled with all the fullness of Christ, as St. Paul also says, if you're going to be holy consumed in Christ, then there is not room for any other love, any other commitment. Now, that is something that is not given for every human being, but it is made clear to us in her so that we can see to what we must strive in terms of our own being filled with the fullness of Christ as much as we can be.
And, of course, very important, and we talked about this a little bit when we mentioned the Council of Ephesus in 431. There, the church is affirming against Nestorius, the Archbishop of Constantinople, that the Virgin Mary is and forever will be Theotokos, bearer of God, as opposed to the heretical notion that she was merely Christotokos, bearer of Christ, a man in whom God dwelt as if in a temple. So you have the councils making declarations with respect to Mary that are overarching, that ultimately lead us to an understanding that her womb had been set apart, as it were, like a temple.
Exactly. She is the temple of God.
Stay right here. We'll be back soon to rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Robert Spencer. In the politically incorrect guide to Islam and the Crusades, Robert Spencer reveals Islam's ongoing unshakable quest for global conquest and why the West today faces the same threat as the Crusaders did and what we can learn from their experience. To receive your copy of The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades by Robert Spencer, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Do you want to live a visionary life of purpose and meaning? Do you want to live in Christ with a sense of purpose and peace? Most of us will answer yes. And yet, rather than soaring to spiritual heights, we often remain grounded, emotionally and spiritually stuck in our harmful habits and attitudes, finding ourselves repeatedly wingless and unable to take flight. Written by a husband and wife, the husband a priest and wife a psychologist, Renewing You, a Priest, a Psychologist, and a Plan is a path to personal renewal needed by many in this moment. To receive your copy of Renewing You, a Priest, a Psychologist, and a Plan by Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials Library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Everything, well, almost everything you know about Islam and the Crusades is wrong, because most textbooks and popular history books are written by left-wing academics who justify their contemporary political agendas with contrived and tainted historical claims. Robert Spencer refutes the popular myths in The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. Spencer takes you on a fast-paced, politically incorrect tour of Islamic teaching and Crusades history that will give you all the information you need to understand the true nature of global Islamic terror and the threat it poses for the West. To receive your copy of The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades by Robert Spencer, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Let's now rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and Robert Spencer as they continue their conversation.
So you have the councils making declarations with respect to Mary that are overarching, that ultimately lead us to an understanding that her womb had been set apart, as it were, like a temple.
Exactly. She is the temple of God. And we see that in Revelation, you know, that the temple of the heavens were opened and the temple of God was made visible, and we go into that passage about the woman clothed with the sun.
And then you have the Immaculate Conception, which Pope Pius IX dogmatized, and Orthodoxy says that is an unwarranted innovation.
Because it detracts, actually, from the greatness that she embodies and from the fullness of what it means to be deified. Because if you're filled with the fullness of Christ, then you don't sin. And the idea that she was prevented from sinning in some way or prevented from bearing fully the human condition in some way, it cuts against that.
I want to go back to something that you said early on in this podcast, Robert. You were mentioning that you are now in process of developing a new and honest translation of the Quran. You get involved in all kinds of projects that are momentous, I would say, but this has to be one of the most momentous projects you have ever committed your life to.
I do think that it's, frankly, one of the most important things that I've done. You know, so many people over the years have said to me, what's the best Quran translation? What's a good, honest Quran translation that I can read where I can see exactly where it says fight against the unbelievers and so on? And you know, there isn't one. And for years I have worked with this. There are some that have their own strengths, but there's none that's perfect. And so finally I thought, well, I could do this and come up with a translation that actually makes it clear to people what is problematic about the Quran, where the passages are that incite violence against unbelievers, where the passages are that incite violence against women, and so on and so on. And also, this is a critical edition of the Quran. This is the first, as far as I know, critical edition of the Quran in the sense that it also includes variant readings. And you know how for years I've read Bibles and they have the little footnotes that go to the bottom and say, some manuscripts say this and that. None of the differences are very large, but this is not something that troubles Christian theology. It does trouble Islamic theology because in Islam, the Quran is perfect and has been perfectly preserved. And there's supposed to be no variance whatsoever. Every last copy of the Quran is supposedly identical to every other copy. And yet there are actually hundreds of variants, and this is going to be the first Quran that lists as many of them as I'm able to get. I have several hundred in there now.
This is one of the most unreliable revelations in the history of book publishing, in the history of humanity. Yeah. I mean, the emperor simply has no clothes. I mean, yeah. In the Quran, you have Quran 4, 157, saying that they killed him not, nor crucified him, but so was made to appear to them. So you have a denial of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ.
This comes from Gnostic Christianity, and I believe it's the second treatise of the great Seth, if I recall correctly. It says that Jesus was not crucified, that he was actually hovering above the cross and watching them crucify somebody who was made to look like him. And in Islamic theology, that's Judas Iscariot, which is also a borrow from Gnosticism, not the Judas Iscariot part, but in Gnostic Christian writings, the writings of the Gnostic heretics who believed that matter was evil and thus Jesus, as the Savior, could not and would not have been crucified, wouldn't have even have taken flesh. They speak about Thomas, the twin, as the twin of Jesus, and also call him Judas Thomas. And this idea traveled into Islam as Judas Iscariot being the twin of Jesus and made to be on the cross in his place.
You know, I was just thinking, as you're talking about this momentous project, Salman Rushdie, he's an author who grew up in a nominal Muslim environment, and then he published this novel titled The Satanic Verses, and all hell literally breaks loose. And when I talk about all hell, you have mayhem because of his book. Muslims all over the world engaging in bombings and book burnings and blatant bullying. When you come out with something like this, what kind of danger do you face?
Well, I think this kind of thing is always possible. And I've already survived, thank God, 2 assassination attempts. And who knows, really? You know, you never know what's going to be guaranteed. You never know whether you're going to even have the next day. And so I try to trust in God in that regard. I'm not any kind of good Christian, Hank, I can tell you that. But I do try to see these things as something that one just has to trust him in regard to. Because, I mean, what else are you going to do? I think that if we say, well, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't talk about these things, I shouldn't publish this book because I might get killed, well, if everybody is cowardly like that, then we might as well give up the store now and surrender Western civilization. There's just no point.
What do you mean when you say I'm not any kind of a good Christian?
Oh, I just mean I'm a sinful man. I mean that I'm not the kind of Christian I would like to be, but I would expect that you have to be able to say that if you're a Christian or you're not doing it right.
Mm-hmm. You have developed, and I hear this in what you've just said, you've developed an eternal perspective.
Well, I hope so. Like I say, I'm no paragon, but I appreciate it, and I hope you will pray for me.
Yes, and we're all going to stand before the Lord of glory and give an account for what we did with our lives. I remember Robert, not all that long ago, being in a coma for 3 days, and then thinking as I came out of that coma, have I done enough for the poor and the downtrodden? What would I say if I stood before the Lord right now? And it does give you a sense of eternity. And I very much appreciate you talking about your own mortality and recognizing that life is a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. Yes, if you stand for truth, no matter the cost, you're going to face all kinds of obstacles. A lot of people aren't willing to do that, and I think it's probably because they haven't developed this sense of the only real thing that matters is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ saying, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yes. That's right, Hank. You really got it. I think that nowadays people try to pretend that they're never going to die and that it's never really going to happen, and they just have unlimited time and unlimited possibilities, and so they don't want to take risks. They don't realize how threatened their position really is, and they don't realize that they need to take risks in order to protect their own people, their own families, their own nation, and so on. These concepts have been lost.
Well, Robert, you are an amazing person, an amazing friend, and I appreciate having you on the podcast. I'm really looking forward for the time that your book, The Pope and the Church, The Case for Orthodoxy, is published. It's a very important book. When people read through that book, they'll get a sense of Christian history. And I think that's one of the big things that we have lost over the years, a sense of history. Most people don't know historical facts. And as a result of that, they're led into all kinds of errors in the present.
Yes, absolutely. That's why with the history of jihad, people don't have any idea of the history of jihad, and they think that it just all started recently and that it'll go away soon. And they have no idea this is a 1,400-year war.
Well, Robert, this has been a wide-ranging discussion, and I appreciate your expertise on so many different levels. I have admired you for a long time and deeply appreciate having you on Hank Unplugged.
Well, thank you. The honor is all mine, and my admiration for you is, if not greater, then at least the same. But I'm honored and humbled by your kind words and appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you, Robert. Robert Spencer, he is the director of Jihad Watch. He is not only interesting, informative, and inspirational, but he is one brave man. He's willing to speak the truth, no matter the cost. Thanks for tuning into this edition of Hank Unplugged. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the podcast.
Thank you for listening to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Islam expert Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch and the author of more than 20 books, including The History of Jihad from Muhammad to ISIS and the New York Times bestseller, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. To hear this Hank Unplugged podcast interview in its entirety, go to equip.org. iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades by Robert Spencer. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
If you found the last year challenging, you're not alone. In fact, millions believe that this last year has been the most brutal year of their lives. Nonstop news of COVID-19's devastation, coupled with our deepening culture wars, has wreaked havoc on our world. Sadly, many have surrendered to a life of settling when we should be soaring, resigning when we should be renewing. That's why Renewing You, a priest, a psychologist, and a plan couldn't be more timely. Written by a husband and wife, the husband a priest and the wife a psychologist. Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe provide a plan for personal renewal in these challenging times. To receive your copy of Renewing You, a priest, a psychologist, and a plan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.